Tape recorded message number TL518. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I am giving this time to the study of 1 and 2 Chronicles because a very important truth is hidden away in these books. This has to do with the tribes of Israel. It has to do with the character of Judah. It has to do with that egregious error that men call the 10 tribes or the 10 lost tribes of Israel. This book would teach us that no tribes were ever lost. For many years, no one ever paid very much attention to 2 Chronicles. They would take the stories from 2 Kings, but pass over 2 Chronicles altogether. I might say in this connection that in our last study, we saw the death of Jeroboam. He was the king of the northern kingdom. And in verse 20, we read that the Lord struck him and he died. The Lord struck him, and he did. His death was at the hands of the Lord. Then it says, Abijah. Now there's two ways to pronounce this, and I was attempting to put the emphasis on the Yah, the end of it. For this name means, Jehovah is my father, or Jah is my father. And in our English pronunciations, we put the emphasis on the first three letters, A-B-I, and less emphasis on the last. I was trying to turn that around, but I realize that I'm going against established pronunciations and well-known pronunciations. So whether you say Abijah or Abijah, it doesn't make much difference, and I will not press the question. Now, we read that the time came when Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Now, Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. So, added to the kings of Israel now, we have Asa, the son of Abijah, and that in his days the land had quiet for 10 years. And remember, as we study the record of Asa, that the record is he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. May all of us ever in our daily life, in our home life, just do that which is good and right in the eyes of Jehovah, who is our God. You know, it isn't enough just to keep a few laws and obey a few rules, but to do that which is just right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Many judgments could be made, and all you'd have to do is to ask yourself to make these judgments. All you'd have to do is ask yourself, is this good and is this right in the eyes of the Lord our God? Well, it was evident when he took away the altars of the strange gods, and all those high places and the images, and cut down the groves. Now that doesn't mean, of course, that you're to go out and tear down some building where false worship is taking place, as many seem inclined to do. But remember here that Asa was the king, and the laws and all the enforcement of the laws were in his hands. And I don't suppose that he broke down a single image personally, but he ordered it done. And when he ordered it done and men did it at his behest, it was equal to him doing it, and he cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. He said, get on to this and do this. Seek the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim of your fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. And as king of the land, he had every right to do this. Well, we were over this in the last study, and we come now to the 9th verse. We read that there came out against them, Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000 men, 300 chariots, and they came unto Mareshah. Now Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha in Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. Isn't that marvelous? How he said, Lord, doesn't make any difference to you whether you help the weak or help the strong. It doesn't make any difference. It's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Just help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, that's O Yahweh, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. This was a time when God would fight on the side of nations. Nations were not considered to be equal in the sight of God, for Jehovah, for the nation of Israel had the favored place before Jehovah. And the Lord did smote the Ethiopians, and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord, and before his army, his host. And they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and they returned to Jerusalem. With great wealth they returned to Jerusalem. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And when the Spirit of God comes upon Azariah, immediately he is going to become a spokesman for God. What he speaks will now be the Word of God. That's what happened in this day. This does not happen today. We are shut up to the written Word of God, and this is the time of God's silence. And those who claim that God is speaking to them personally and giving them a message that is not written in His Word, they are simply lying. That's all that there is to it. They may be deceived. They may not intend to lie, and they may think that they're glorifying God and bringing great honor to His name by saying that the Lord spoke to me when I was out in the desert, or the Lord spoke to me when I was up on the mountaintop. But they just wanted to be true, and they so hoped to be true that now they're telling it to be true. And of course, this impresses a great many people, but it does not impress me. The Word of God is complete, and God isn't adding to it. And we've just got to trust in this Word and let this Word speak to us. We'd like to have personal direction. We'd like for the Lord to direct every step. But if God is going to continue to show grace, then He must shut us up to faith, just taking God at His Word and thinking accordingly, or else grace would have to change and it become a time of the drastic judgment of God. So this Azariah, he went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's the way it operated then. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. Now it was certainly serious for them to be without the true God. They had worked up a concept of God in their minds, but this God was not the God revealed in the Word. And so when people work up a concept of God, which is just the creation of their own minds, this is nothing more than an idol. They didn't need to make a graven image to do this. They could just conceive of God as being this in their minds. Many people have a concept of God as some being who is just simply running everything today. And that everything that happens or takes place because God willed it. They've got God governing today when he's not governing at all. He's just showing grace. But this is the way it was at this time. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. So they had been without the true God, but they'd also been without a teaching priest. It was the priest's duty to teach, and therefore they'd been without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found in them. Now I certainly believe that under the grace of God today, if at any time we turn to our Lord God through the Lord Jesus Christ, if we seek him, he will be found of us, because here's what we will find today. If we seek after God, we will find out that the reason that we're seeking after him, that the thing behind this was not anything that we are by nature or anything else, is just because that God was seeking us, and that God seeking us caused a desire within us to seek him. We can follow it out, or we can refuse to follow it out. If we follow it out, we're going to be found. What is it that you want? Oh, you want a miracle. You want a blessing. You want means. You want fame. You want renown. You want this. You want that. Do you want God? It's God after whom we should seek. Now, we also read, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexation were upon all inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, that was the word that Azariah, who became a prophet when the Spirit of God came upon him, delivered to Asa. Now, in the 8th verse we read that when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. Now, in view of this verse, let me say, as I started to teach you in the last lesson, that most people like to think and want to think of that after the split between Jeroboam and Rehoboam, after the kingdom was divided, that you had 10 compact tribes in the north without any deviation, that you had 2 compact tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin, and so on. But that is not the way that it was. For here in this southern kingdom, over which Asa now reigns, sure he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, but he gathered the strangers with them. These people who were not citizens of Judah or Benjamin, but these were out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. Now, there are 5 right there of the 12 tribes mentioned. You see, you've got Judah and Benjamin, that's 2, Ephraim 3, Manasseh 4, and Simeon. And here's the record. They fell to him out of Israel in abundance. When did they fall to him? When they saw that the Lord his God was with them. Now, these were the, shall we say, the godly in the northern kingdom. These were the believers there. These were the men of faith. And when they saw beyond all question that Jehovah Elohim was with Asa, these people out of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon fell to him. And we already saw in the 11th chapter, the 14th verse, where the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem for Jeroboam, that was the king of the northern kingdom, and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. So in verse 16, after them out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, they came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. Now here is the picture. We have seen already that we have Judah and Benjamin. Of course, they were the two main tribes of the southern kingdom. And now we've got the tribe of Levi, and the others without mention. Doesn't give it to it, but it says, out of all the tribes of Israel, those who set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, they came to Jerusalem. And then over in this ninth verse, we've got Benjamin. You see, we've got Benjamin mentioned. And after Benjamin is Judah. Then we've got Ephraim. There is parts out of another tribe, the tribe of Ephraim. That's usually called Joseph, but we would call it Ephraim and Manasseh. And then out of Simeon, you see, that is another one of the tribes that's accounted for. And they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. Think of these words. In abundance. They just abandoned everything. They left their lands. They brought what they could with them. It was hard indeed to stop them because all they had to do was just get across the border. That was not a most difficult thing. They came down, they cast their lot with Jerusalem. Because while Judah was not the greater part of the land, but nevertheless it was the best part, there the temple of God was located, and they saw it, the Lord was Jerusalem. So we read, they gathered themselves to Jerusalem, together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord at the same time of the spoil which they had brought. They brought much with them, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now notice, these are men out of at least six of the tribes. At least six of the tribes. And they have entered into a covenant, an agreement, a contract, to seek Jehovah their God, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel, he should simply be put to death. If they were seeking other gods while living down there, they'd be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with the cornets. Now, I want you to keep this very firmly in mind, that this is not just Judah and Benjamin, but this is people out of all the tribes, God-fearing people, who entered into a covenant to seek the Lord with all their hearts. And so what you have now, according to the Word of God, is that you have representatives of all the 12 tribes located in the southern kingdom. They're living in the land of Judah and in the land of Benjamin. They've turned away from Rehoboam, the king of the northern kingdom. He hasn't been able to stop them. And so they swore this oath before the Lord. And this they are going to do. Now, when people talk to you about the 10 lost tribes, now, you do have what's called the 10 tribes up in the northern kingdom. While they are the seed of Abraham, but they do not have the temple. They do not have Jehovah as their God. And this kingdom will only last about 100 years at the most when they'll go into the Assyrian captivity. So they're not lost. They're not lost. And so when the Apostle Paul said 12 tribes, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, expect to come. So there were the representatives of all the 12 tribes gathered right here. There is no such thing in the Bible as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. The reason people make up this thing about them being lost is because they want to find them somewhere. They want to find them here, find them there. But they were never lost. And when a thing is never lost, trouble with identifying it, that is no problem. No problem at all. Now, if I should lose a $100 bill, if I had some marking on it, I could identify it. But I haven't lost a $100 bill, so there's no use to think about how I'd identify it. But maybe somebody could pick up $100 somewhere and claim that he found it. It was lost, he'd make out. So he wants to make out like he found it, but the reason he says it was lost is just so he can say that he found it. Well, we read on in verse 15. All Judah rejoiced at the oath. For Judah is the southern kingdom. For they had sworn with all their hearts, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. Boy, that's great. He didn't listen to his mother, and he wouldn't stand aside for his mother. And while she was the queen, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in the grove. So Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. These high places that they'd built with the expectation of getting closer to God, if they went up on a hill, as many people think that they can get closer to God if they go up on a mountain or go out in a desert, not in the least. If God isn't here in this room, then he's not in the desert. He's not on the top of the mountain. And just by eliminating a few thousand feet, I cannot be any nearer to him. What was it the poet said? So near, so very near to God. I cannot near be, for in the person of his son, I'm just as near as he. So these high places were not taken away. And he brought into the house of God the kings that his father had dedicated. He himself had dedicated silver and gold and vessels. There was no more war in the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. Now, war starts again. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. Now, this is the king of the northern kingdom. It was a government. Being a government, it was a kingdom. It was not a kingdom that God had established, but now their king is Baasha, and he came against Judah. He came against Judah and built Ramah. And the reason he built Ramah was the intent that he might not let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. If you want an illustration of this, you'll remember when Russia built the Berlin Wall. Because just strictly from the economic standpoint and the freedom standpoint, there were far too many people in East Germany and even of Russia that wanted to cross over and find a place in West Germany because of its attractiveness. Well, these people that were leaving the Northern Kingdom, they were going out. So he built Ramah to the intent that he might guard the borders and let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Because the believers, the men of faith, the God-fearing people in that northern kingdom were still coming out. So he's going to fortify the border, not to keep the enemy out, but to keep the people from going out. And then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasure of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. And he sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus. And he said, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. They were in league, and if you break it, may depart from thee. Well, Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa. And he sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, And they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building. And he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah. Prophets were called seers, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, Jehovah your Elohim, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, that's Yahweh, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord, that's Yahweh, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Notice this. The eyes of Yahweh run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have war. Then Asa was wroth. He was angry with the seer and put him in a prison house. He locked up the messenger, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the books of the king of Judah and the king of Israel. This brings us, of course, to the record of his death. Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Until the disease, his disease was exceeding great. Yet in the disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. People think that this is instruction that we should never seek to physicians. Well, if you'd known the physicians of that time, if you'd known how they practiced and what they did, the things that they consulted in order to make the diagnosis and so on, well, you would know that these were physicians of no value. But in his disease, he didn't seek the Lord. He sought the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. He reigned a full 40 years. This is the 41st year of his reign. He died. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors of divers kinds and spices, prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him, lit a bonfire, we say, for him. Now Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we're going to get something good to rejoice in Israel. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead, strengthened himself against Israel. That is, the king of the southern kingdom strengthened himself against Israel, the northern kingdom, for this is called Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah. He set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord, that is Jehovah, was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first way of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. He had riches and honors in abundance. His heart was lifted up in the ways of Jehovah, Yahweh. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. These places were always a temptation to the people of Judah to start the worship up there again, or try to add this to the worship of Jehovah. Kind of put some of the truth in the old wineskins, I guess. So he took away these high places, these groves that had been planted and cultivated especially for worship of idols. He just took them away. Oh, they were things of great beauty and attractiveness, but they had to be taken away. just like Moses destroyed that serpent of brass when he found that it had become an idol in Israel. And in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethaneel, to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, Nethaniah, and Zabadiah, Asahel, and Shemaramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Adonijah, Levites, with them Elishama and Jehoram, who were priests. They taught in Judah, had the book of the law of the Lord with them, went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and they taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms, the lands that were round about Judah. The fear of the Lord, the reverence for him, all these lands around about Judah, and they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute, silver. The Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah cities and castles of store. He had much business in the city of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are numbers them according to their fathers. He gives you those of Judah, the captains of thousands. Adna, the chief of his mighty men of valor, 300,000. Next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, with him 240,000. Next to him was Amasiah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Then it gives us those of Benjamin, those with Jehozabad. And the 19th verse says, these waited on the king, beside those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah. To wait upon him was simply to wait for his orders, even to anticipate his orders. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for people he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, now, these two kings now, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. See if Yahweh would want this. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men. Boy, that was a slew of men to have to find out what the Lord was slaying. One would have been enough. But he calls together these prophets of Ahab, for that's all that they were, and said, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. So Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of him? Isn't there any prophet here of the Lord? You've got 400 of your own prophets. Or so tell him what he wants to know, because he pays their salary and feeds them. Now let's get somebody that the Lord feeds and that the Lord pays. It's not dependent upon men. So he said, isn't there some prophet that we might inquire of him? Well, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah, And Joseph had said, "Let not the king say so." And the king of Israel called for one of the officers and said, "Fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne. These thrones were just seats, clothed in their robes. And they sat in an empty place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenaanah, had made him horns of iron. Now, he's going to demonstrate this. It's going to be an object lesson. And he takes these horns of iron. He says, "Thus saith Jehovah, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king." And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, "Behold, the words of the prophets, they declare good to the king with one assent. So you join in the chorus," he says. "Sing the same song, march to the beat of this drum. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good." Why do you want to be contrary? Now, some people want to be contrary just in order to be contrary, because they're contrary by nature. We've met up with a lot of those. I remember a story told when I was young about a man in a church who always objected to everything. No matter what was brought up, no matter what it was, he said, and he objected. And he would throw the thing into an argument, and as a rule, nothing would be done. And the time came when winter was drawing near and the furnace had to be repaired, and they met in business meeting, and they knew that this man was going to object even to the repairing of the furnace, or would object to the ones that they had selected to do it, or the price that was to be paid, and in the end that the furnace would just not be fixed and then go through a cold winter once again. And so the pastor, in desperation, wanting to have the furnace repaired and get it over with before winter began, he stood up to pray before the meeting opened, and he said, "There's Brother Johnson. He's with us here tonight, and you know, Lord, how he just objects to everything. Everything we want to do, he can find some objection, and then we get into discussions and arguments, and in the end, nothing is done. Lord, we pray something be done about him." And this preacher, in all sincerity, prayed, "Lord, just take him. Take him away. Take him to heaven," he said. And when he said amen and sat down, why, Brother Johnson stood up and said, "I object. I will not go." So that's the way with some of these contrary people. But Micaiah was not like this. Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak." When he was come to the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And he said, "Go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand." And the king said to him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord?" Then he said, "I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains, as sheep having no shepherd, and the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good against me, unto me, but evil?" And he said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven, the armies of heaven, standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, another spake after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all prophets. And the Lord said, Thou shalt entice him, and thou also shalt prevail, and go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, came near, smote Micaiah upon the cheek, and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see on the day when thou shalt go into inner chamber to hide yourself. Then the king of Israel said, Take ye Micaiah, and carry him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I return again in peace. I'm running over time. My time is up. I must close at this point and take this up in the next study with further explanations. Until then, I bid you goodbye.